Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. And I love hearing from small business owners and employees. Let's talk about your business. Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. That's gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Today, what to consider if you'd like to sell your small business goods on Amazon. An interview after this. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. Are you a small business owner or entrepreneur who's considering selling your products on Amazon? Here are some things to consider from small business consultant James Thompson. He's written a new book called The Amazon Marketplace Dilemma. He's a former Amazon employee who's based in Seattle. James, what's the dilemma?
Well, Gordon, the dilemma that brands face today, if you're a company with your own product and you're selling it on Amazon, the big question is, how do you sell it on Amazon? Do you choose to sell it yourself, being a third-party seller, or do you decide to wholesale the product to Amazon? And for those companies that have experience with Amazon, they know that Amazon often comes calling looking for new product they want to add to their own inventory. And for many brands, that's a very appealing call when it comes through because Amazon wants to do business with you.
Yeah.
And the dilemma is that the right thing to do long-term for your brand?
All right. Typically, who might this affect?
Well, it definitely affects the brand owner because when Amazon comes calling and looks to wholesale your product, this is not like a traditional B2B channel. Maybe you're wholesaling to a brick-and-mortar chain. Well, it's not the same thing when you wholesale to Amazon Retail. Amazon Retail has a lot of ability to control how your product's ultimately going to be priced to consumers. They have a lot of control over whether or not your product's going to stay in stock. And they have a lot of control over how the brand is actually represented, what kind of content's going to be used to represent your brand. Those are typically very important issues for any brand owner. And as such, it's important for, or at least we believe it's important for a brand owner to understand these issues before they say, yep, I want to do business with Amazon. I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm saying it's a bundle of trade-offs that for many brands, even very large brands, they don't necessarily understand all of these trade-offs. And so what they see is a big PO with a big short-term revenue opportunity. That's not necessarily the long-term best thing to do if you're a brand.
Mm. All right, so are there different factors to consider depending on perhaps what industry you're from?
Amazon is really a place where widgets get sold. There are very few items that are different from one another in Amazon's mind. So I would take that and turn it around and say, if you're a beauty brand or you're a shoe brand or you're a food brand, it really doesn't matter to Amazon. As far as Amazon's concerned, they're all SKUs, they're all widgets in the big catalog. Mm. And what Amazon's looking for is product that they believe customers want to buy. And so they have inordinate amounts of search data where they can tell what customers have actually been searching for. And if they're finding that your brand has been searched for but isn't available, they're going to come calling on you and say, we want your brand. If the product is sold by other companies, but possibly the product is out of stock on a regular basis, again, Amazon's going to come calling on you because they want constant stock of products they know their customers want.
In my notes here, it talks about reasons Amazon does not care about your brand. Is that true?
That's one way to look at it. I would reposition that back to what I talked about a moment ago. Amazon doesn't care per se about your brand. They care about whether the individual widgets in your brand are going to sell. So it's not about that collection of promises that you put together as part of your brand equity that says, our brand is better because of this, this, and this, and we're trying to position ourselves this way and that way. That's not important to Amazon. What's important to Amazon is I can sell a pallet of this product. Customers want a pallet of this product every month. I can get my hands on that product, and I can deliver to what customers want. That's what's important to Amazon. Hmm. So there's been a lot of talk recently with Nike doing a deal with Amazon. That's been going back to efforts nearly 10, 11 years where Amazon wanted to do business with Nike, and Nike made clear that they wanted Amazon to do more than just be a transactional partner. They wanted Amazon to help position the brand of Nike. Amazon's not really in the branding game. They're in the selling units game.
Yeah.
And so whether you're Nike or you're a small brand of your own and everything in between, Amazon's interested in your product because they believe customers are going to buy it, not because they want to be a marketplace that sells brands that position certain messages to customers. That's not important to Amazon.
Hmm. We're speaking with James Thompson, small business consultant. He's also written a new book called The Amazon Marketplace Dilemma. So explain a little more of this Nike-Amazon agreement and what it might mean for other companies.
The Nike deal is unfortunately very unique for Nike. Nike is a huge strategic brand as far as Amazon's concerned. And Amazon was willing to give Nike some specific features that they typically don't give other brands. Amazon was willing to kick off everybody else who was already selling Nike, thereby giving Amazon, basically giving themselves a monopoly on the sale of Nike product going forward. Amazon is typically an open marketplace. They want competition. They want lots of people selling the same products, because when you have lots of people competing, that drives prices down. That's good for Amazon customers. The Nike situation is unfortunately not going to apply to 99.9% of us because we're not strategic like Nike would be.
Right.
So if you're looking to buy Nike products on Amazon, you'll now be able to buy them directly from Amazon as opposed to buying them from any number of third-party sellers who might have been selling product in the past. As I said, that's not exactly normal circumstances. I've been involved with a number of different large brands that Amazon wanted to have sold on Amazon back when I worked at Amazon. And in most situations, Amazon didn't bend like this, didn't give the brand the opportunity to have an exclusive reseller, because that's not historically Amazon's approach. They want an open marketplace. They want competition.
Yeah. Also, I mean, Amazon, is it killing off brands inadvertently with some of its approaches? Or is that really on the seller not adapting to the way Amazon works?
I don't think there's people sitting in an Amazon boardroom saying, let's kill off brands.
Right.
I think what we're seeing here is the incentives that drive Amazon are not the incentives that drive brands.
Mm.
Amazon's all about getting low price and constant availability of products. Brands are typically about getting sales, but also protecting the brand. If Amazon's not interested in protecting the brand equity, that is to say the messages and being able to position the product just the right way with the right kind of experience, if Amazon's not interested in that, then they're not going to do those things. It's not that they're proactively saying, let's destroy a brand.
Yeah.
No, it's let's figure out how to sell more widgets and sell the right widgets to customers and do it as fast as possible at the lowest price.
All right, so let's say that you're a business and you've just started and you plan to sell these widgets. What are the factors you have to consider if you're thinking about selling on Amazon?
Sure. Well, one common misperception among companies selling on Amazon is the belief that the more companies that are selling your product on Amazon, the better. Maybe you're already selling your product to three or four different brick-and-mortar channels, and you say to them, yes, you can all sell online, that's fine. Well, realistically, they're all going to start selling the product on Amazon as well, and they're all going to start competing against each other because there's going to be a single listing for every SKU. So if you and I are selling the same product, I want the sale and you want the sale, but only one of us is going to get the sale at any given moment. And the way that Amazon's algorithms work is you're encouraged to drop the price. And if your price is cheaper than mine, you're more likely to get the sale.
Mm.
Well, if I want to beat you, I'm going to lower my price below your price. And before you know it, we're driving driving prices down and margins down to next to nothing. So as a brand, if you're wanting to protect how you're priced, let's say you're a premium price product. If you're a premium price product, but you're then turning around and letting as many people as you want sell the product on Amazon, chances are you're not going to be premium priced too long.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's better to be in a situation where you either are the seller yourself or you have someone selling the product where you have some types of controls over what's happening with that seller to make sure they're constantly in stock and respecting your pricing. Otherwise, it's a downward spiral.
Yeah.
So that's the first step. The second step is a lot of people put product on Amazon and believe if you build it, they will come. Well, guess what? There's 400 million products already in the Amazon catalog.
Jeez.
Nobody cares about the 400 millionth and first product,
right?
Except for you. So if you're going to start selling on Amazon, you've got to ask yourself the question, am I willing to do or to make the necessary investments around creating a really high-quality product listing? Am I willing to make the investments around ensuring the product's consistently in stock? Am I willing to spend a lot of money driving advertising and driving traffic to my listings? People aren't going to find your product just because it's there. They're going to find your product because you're advertising and you're basically buying your way to the top of search results, or you're spending money on Facebook to drive traffic to your listings on Amazon. So it's important to understand there is a runway that you need to go down here where you're going to have to make investments for several months before you start to get some decent sales on Amazon. And even then, you may not get very many sales if there's extensive competition for your items.
Right.
I've worked with companies that sell vitamins and supplements on Amazon. Well, guess what? There are hundreds and hundreds of private label sellers for vitamins and supplements. I'm not picking on this category. I'm just using it as an example. There's so much competition within most subcategories that just because you show up with different packaging, different flavor, different whatever, nobody really cares. You have to make them care by creating high visibility for your product. And the way you do that is you typically have to spend a bunch of money advertising. So it's important for small business owners to understand that while Amazon is this place with hundreds of millions of customers buying product, it's kind of scary to be that next seller that shows up because there's already thousands. Well, there's actually 2 million plus established sellers already on Amazon, and they're further along in understanding how to play the game on Amazon than you might be. So I don't want to discourage people from entering the Amazon space, but I think it's important for them to read the forums, the seller forums, on what kinds of issues they face, make sure they have realistic expectations that nobody cares about their product unless the brand invests to help customers care about the product.
Thanks, James. Small business consultant James Thompson. Again, the book is called The Amazon Marketplace Dilemma. And when shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report is found on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. That's also where you can hear our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Again, if you'd like to share your small business story, I'd like to hear it. You can send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Again, gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.